Well, we appreciate the presence of everyone. Still have some of our visitors with us. We're grateful for that. I talked to Alicia a while ago. She sounded sick.
She wasn't faking
it? No, but she said it was Sandra June that was making her sick. That's what shocked me. Sandra June failed to mention that. Good to have all of y'all here with us. It's just a joy. It's been a great day. Good meal. What food. You know, I could have stayed home and saved you a few germs, but I didn't. That meal was great. It was great. It was worth the risk, I thought. But I would have missed the participation of the visit. See, the visit. Oh, it was good. Well, I don't know. Last week, sometime or other, I couldn't sleep one night. You know how you get. And I had a flurry of ideas. And sometimes I go through a dearth, a period of dearth, drought for ideas. But anyway, I had a flurry of ideas. And I got up and worked a while. And finally, when I came back to bed, I was lying down on my pillow and I was thinking, you know, it would be ironic if it turned out that some of my better efforts, not good efforts, but some of my better efforts were conceived on nights in which I could not sleep, only to be delivered to audiences that could not stay away. How ironic that would be. Just thought I'd pass that on for your consideration. That's probably true. Well, we've had a great 2017. I think that's already been mentioned. People have referred to the past year. It went by so fast. So very fast. And we had, you know, various experiences and privileges and obligations. And it was just a mix of things. And it was a wonderful year. And we've all been blessed. We had our concerns. And we had our joys and sorrows, like all years. And as we get older, they just seem to buzz by. We're constantly living in a situation where we're placing value or disvalue on things, and we have to, according to Scripture. You're surrounded by things. Well, is that important? Excuse me, is that? How valuable is that? Does that have any value to it at all? You're always making these decisions about things. Not just the material, buying a new car, a truck, or a trailer, or whatever. But most importantly, the spiritual concerns. How valuable is that? And what is my choice on that going to do about my spirit? What is it going to do to me spiritually as a person? Have you counted the cost? Have you counted the cost? That's the lesson we're talking about tonight. Have you considered what things are costing you and costing me? Have you considered the cost of, number one, being ignorant? You know, I mentioned, you know, Mac Traven, one of the, I think it was the Shadow Riders. He said, "We Travens have a lot of faults, but being ignorant ain't one of them." And I met a Christian years and years ago, back when we were in our 20s. You know, and he said, "We're just ignorant people, you know." Or poor. No, he said, "We're just poor people and proud of it." If you're proud of your poverty, what does that say about your knowledge? How ignorant is that? Proud to be poor? I don't quite think he'd figured out the good book's teaching with regard to value. Maybe there was still a lot to learn about that. I'm not trying to be overly critical. I'm not so sure. I can't remember if he was the same man that told me one day. It might have been another one. Said, "I never have liked preachers." And maybe that shows more knowledge. I don't know. But there's a cost to being ignorant. Hosea 4:6, a passage preachers usually go to. It's such a wonderful point made there. My people, Hosea says, God says, "My people are destroyed." And he lays the blame for the destruction at the foot of ignorance. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And as you have rejected knowledge, so I have rejected you. Because you've forgotten the law of thy God, I also will forget thy children. Ignorance not only has consequences in the life of the ignorant person, but the consequences for it can be transmitted to the next generation. And they then face their own bad results because of what mother and daddy did. Look at us now. Look at the situation that the previous generation put us in. It ultimately leads to destruction. There is no value in failing to learn the gospel. There is no value in turning down the love of God through Christ at the cross. That's a disvalue. Sin is a disvalue. It's not worth anything. Sin is not worth anything. Secondly, if you consider the cost of just, let's put it like this. We could say destruction is the first one, but what's involved in that is eternal, you know, death. Have you considered the cost of being lost? We see people all the time around us going busy as ants. They're engaged in this and this and this. On the weekends, they're engaged in other things. And all the while, eternity is approaching fast, and they don't know that they're not ready or they don't care. They'll give it thought if they ever get worn out and tired enough to reflect. And that's a missed life. That's a misspent life. And so, like the fellow that called me the other night wanting a certificate. And he wasn't even sure what it was about. And he certainly doesn't know his Bible. But something came up, I guess, and he thought he needed it or wanted it. Lost. Do you know you lost? Do you know you're in sin? Do you know that you don't have sufficient information to get out of your predicament? Do you want to know? See, that's the thing. The world is out there squandering its privileges, exerting itself almost to a nil degree because it has no great desire for ultimate truth. And the church keeps, we try to keep ourselves braced up with the love of God, fulfilling obligations, placing value where it is to go, disvaluing where that goes, and we're surrounded in an atmosphere of people that don't care too much about their lost condition. That's a sad, sad thing. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So hell is the price you pay for that. Number three, have you considered the cost of being greedy? Now, people like to think about money a lot. We've talked about that in 1 Timothy. People, and they overvalue things. Oh, if I could just buy this, and if I could just buy that. I've not gotten out of the buying mood. I'm still young enough to want to purchase things, and I'm a new horse, you know. Ben Jones says, you know, horse traders, every now and then they like to trade, you know, new colors and models or whatever. I'm not giving up the mood of buying things, but as I do, I can only spend so much money on that. And I can't overvalue that as opposed to this. So this is far more important. I'll always remember what Roy Thomason said to me one time. I've always appreciated the thought. He was a grand old retired farmer and rancher at Wellington. He was in his 90s and he was still driving his pickup around, you know, at some speed and doing his business. And he was a great guy that had worked on the old mill iron ranch when he was a young fella up there. But I was fixing to have to go off on a gospel meeting somewhere, and I was keeping my horse out at some of his or his son's property, and he said to me one day, he said, "Well, I can't preach, but I can feed the preacher's horse." Reminds me of an old pioneer preacher whose name fails me right now that had gone somewhere and stabled his horse, and he went across to board and eat and go to bed, and he called, sent somebody to check on his horse. "Well, did you feed him enough?" And then he sent him back after a while. "Did you get him to make sure he was, you know, got some water and everything?" Said, "Tell him I've done everything for his horse, but make him some coffee and I'm getting that ready." Well, I appreciate the thought. And I appreciate what Brother Thomason said to me. Value things. I value my horses. I value my wife. You know, I moved from Tennessee to Wellington and I took my horse and dog. Left my wife and... But I got her later. I did go back when Tammy was getting ready to graduate. I did go back, and I didn't forget her. Value placed. Don't be greedy about earthly things. Paul said to the Colossians, It's a form of idolatry. It's a form of putting something ahead of God. You know, in Luke 13:15, when the man said to Jesus one time, "Lord, make my brother divide the inheritance." We get into all kinds of squabbles over inheritance. "Make him divide it with me." And you know, Jesus, He just showed a very designed disinterest. "Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you?" You know, I came on a mission. My mission has a purpose. My mission has a limit. And He brought up covetousness. I wonder why He brought that up to that fella. It might not have just been a case of a fella wanting fair play when the will was read. But it might have been the case that the man wanted more than that to which he had a right. So it says, beware of covetousness. Beware of covetousness. A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things that he possesses. That's going to get a lot of people, I am afraid. It's a form of idolatry. Number four, have you counted the cost of one soul? Does one woman matter? Does one man matter? Does a child matter? Just one? Oh, not so much. No, you need a bunch. And then they start counting. But if you just have one, it's not very important. In the New Testament, God made it very, very clear that one matters. You know, when He talks about the lost sheep and the lost soul and the lost silver, one of those things mattered. Luke 15:7-10. Just one lost sheep, one lost boy, one lost coin. That matters. And in Matthew 16:26, Jesus would raise the question, what is it worth if a man loses his own soul? What would a man give in exchange for his soul? Now, if we're talking about your soul, well, I could think, you know, well, that's not so much. But now mine, it's another thing. If I was fair, I'd say we both count equally in the sight of God. One soul matters. You know, we spend all this money trying to help over here and help over here and help over here. And maybe the results are not as dramatic or as exciting in most places. Well, there's not a whole lot of drama in my life here. It's not booming around Sheffield. Kind of a quiet place, and I like that. But we want results the best we can have. And one soul, God says, is worth more than the whole world. Randy and I will try to make wise decisions as to the best places to place the money. But we don't want to discount the value of a hard place just because there's not a bunch of results. If we get just help in the contribution with one of those souls getting the glory, what's that going to mean to God in glory? One soul matters. Number five, if you consider the cost of being unconcerned. Now, there's a problem right there. Matthew 22:37. If you don't love, you know, your brother, you don't care about the lost. We can't save all the lost. We want to be good examples to the people we come in contact with and exert, you know, wise effort in the dispensing of funds, in the living of our lives, and exerting energy, showing interest. We're not trying to be nuisances. We're not trying to obstruct people's happiness or be impediments in their way. We want to do good. We want to be good. We don't want to get unconcerned just because most people are unconcerned. Number six, if you counted the cost of being undependable. Well, 1 Corinthians 15:58, be ye steadfast. Galatians 6:7, I believe it is, be not weary in well-doing. Due season we shall reap if we faint not. Don't be like Demas, 2 Timothy 4:10. Don't forsake the Lord. Because finally it got to the point where something else was valued more than the gospel was. It's a horrible thing to think about somebody that hears the gospel not wanting it. It's another thing to learn about somebody that you loved, that had the gospel, that believed the gospel, that practiced the gospel, and left the gospel. It hurts. It's horrible when your friends do that. Maybe one of your elders does that. It's sickening and sad when that happens. I want to be dependable. Number seven. Have you counted the cost of being a bad example? The kind of influence you have? We've all got a certain amount of influence. Well, what kind is it? Maybe it's not interpreted right. Maybe they misread me. Well, that's true. But are you giving them reason for that? Are you trying to be a good example? Are you trying to put forth effort? 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 13. Don't be like these Israelites. They were a dissuasive example. They were our examples to the end. We should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Don't be fornicators like they were, or idolaters. They were horrible examples. Have you counted the cost of being a bad example? It matters to God. And finally, from Philippians 4, 8 and 9, I would use that as the text for this point. Have you counted the cost for not really recognizing true value? True value. Now, there's a title for a store, isn't it? Have you recognized true value? Go to Philippians 4 with me. This beautiful passage. It's the kinds of things on which God wants me to keep my mind. He wants you to keep your mind on these things. Philippians 4, 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honorable or reverend, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. My, what a challenge in a filthy world of sinners practicing sin to the nth degree. He says, keep your mind on those things. Now that's value. Those are things to love and to surround yourselves with and by which you should always be impressed. Those things. In conclusion, as we live our lives and evaluate things around us, we try to see the value in men as made in the image of God. We hate and despise the error that deceives them and the sin that damns them. We look at ourselves and we remember the way things used to be, and we see ourselves in constant need of priceless grace. How can you put a price on the love and grace and mercy of God? Here's one way to do it. Think about it like this. Hell is the ultimate cost of sin. Heaven is the ultimate gift of righteousness. The difference between heaven and hell is the price of that gift. Think about it like that. Have you considered the cost? If you're here this afternoon and not a Christian, come in faith, repent of your sins, make a good confession. You're baptized into Christ. If you've done that and gone astray, we encourage you to come back right now. While together we stand, while we sing, won't you come?